Call Sam all alone. There's no one here beside me. My problems have all gone. There's no one to deride me. But you gotta have friends.
You'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
Well.
'Cause one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number over two.
Hello, world. How is everyone doing on this wonderful Saturday? Hopefully I have this up by Saturday. It is Saturday morning at the time of this recording. Welcome to a very, very special, different episode of the A Bad Influence podcast. I am your host, Devlin Taylor. Here with my guys, Jaybird, what it do? Oh, he's not here. Oh, no. Okay, whoa. That's okay, because I got my pal, my buddy, Drake and Bake. What it do, baby? Oh, he's not here either. Okay, well, I guess I'm all alone. I'm by myself, solo show. Oh, man, I love my guys, but they were a little busy this week. They had some things going on, which I completely understand. We're not making no real money off this pod, so I can't expect them to, you know, drop everything they're doing and put the podcast first. That'd be ridiculous of me. Those are my guys. I love them, you know, but real life pops up sometimes, and, you know, some things had to be handled. But with that being said, I didn't want a week to go by where I didn't put up any content, didn't give you guys anything to listen to, anything. For all 10 of you listeners out there, or 6 or 7, whatever it is, I don't know who's listening. If you're listening, I appreciate you, you know. I love doing this show. I love doing this podcast, even if it's not, you know, where I wanted to be yet. It's all good. I love doing it. But like I said, I wanted to give some content out there. You know, personally, I just like doing it. Like I said, it's therapeutic for me, and it's fun. It's fun doing a podcast. So I wanted to, you know, do some things. I had some stuff I wanted to talk about. I got some topics, some thoughts. Devlin Taylor's thoughts. Clear your mind. I clear your heart. You are now listening to my thoughts. It's Black Thoughts, actually. That's a Tiger song. No one knows. I can't believe I sung that just now. But things been going on. Sports is back and popping. We are in the midst of what I like to call the great gambling season. That's right. College football is happening right now. The NBA is back and popping. NFL football is mid-season away. And in baseball, it's in the playoffs right now. I am desperately hoping that the Philadelphia Phillies beat the San Diego Padres. Not because I have any rooting. Well, I have a rooting interest. I had made a bet in the summer, $3 to win $63, that the Padres would win the NL East. And then Fernando Tatis got suspended. They went on a losing streak. And I said, well, that bet's trash. Let's cash it out right now while it's still valuable. Excuse me. And now here they are, a couple wins away from possibly winning the NL. And, don't know if I'd be able to live myself if I knew I cashed it on such a healthy bet, just out of, you know, wanting to bet more on the NFL. So let's go Phillies. Let's go Bryce Harper. But I'm not here to talk baseball today. like I said, one of the things I mentioned just now was the NBA is back. I've been watching the games. I've been all tuned in. Shout out to the Memphis Grizzlies, my squad, my NBA squad. 2-0 on the season so far. We handled work versus the New York Knicks. Headed on to game two, went to Houston to face on Jalen Green and the Houston Rockets. Ja Morant put on a performance, 49 points, amazing for a win. That Houston team is nice, though. I like them. I like what Steven Silas is doing there, the new head coach. Well, I guess he's in his second season, I believe. And Jalen Green, they're balling out. They got some good pieces. Jabari Smith, Kevin Porter Jr. They got some good things going over there. They put up a great fight, and it went down to the wire, and I love seeing it go down to the wire. I got a couple thoughts on Memphis Grizzlies. I'll say that for when my guys are back around and we can discuss more NBA topics and talk about other games in NBA, what's going on. Look at the trash-ass Lakers and the trash-ass Nets and how they're both trash-ass organizations. And what teams are some shockers, you know? So stay tuned. You know, obviously my guys will be back soon. Jay actually should be back in what I like to call the contiguous United States of America. He's going to be back here in the good old Commonwealth of Virginia soon. And Drake, for some reason, is back here in VA, too. Drake, if you listen to this podcast, come home. Just move home, buddy. Just go ahead. Come on back to the 703. You know that's what you need to do. I know you love the MIA and doing all that coke, snorting all that cocaine. I'm kidding, just in case anybody who has invested in Drake is listening. I know he's not. He's a great guy. But they will be, well, Jay, I know for sure will be here in 2 weeks, and Drake let me know he's in the area right now, but he's busy, but he will be back in November. So there's a possibility that you guys could be getting for the first time ever, live episode with all three of us in the same location. So stay tuned for that. What I'm here to discuss today, like I said, I've been watching the NBA. Lots been going on. Watched the opener. Was very happy. Didn't get to bet on that. Had some financial issues. Don't want to go too deep into that. But I was able to bet on the Thursday games. So I tuned in. Game one was the Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. I won that bet. Milwaukee Bucks on the money line. Couldn't believe that they were underdogs in that game. But hey, you know, Vegas knows better, right? So I bet on the Bucks, won that bet, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and stay tuned in a little bit for this Golden State Warriors. And who were they playing that night? I believe it's the L.A. Lakers. They were playing the Lakers. Were they playing the Lakers? Yeah, no. I apologize. They weren't playing, actually, that night. They weren't. It was the L.A. Lakers versus the Clippers. But for some reason... No, skip that. I'm completely out of sorts. I apologize. Tuesday's night game was the debut games were on Turner Network broadcast, Turner Network Television broadcast, TNT, as they're known as. And the opening game was the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Boston Celtics, which I did not win any money on because I didn't bet. And the next game was the Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Lakers suck, so that wasn't even a story. There was nothing to talk about that. Of course, they talked about Russell Westbrook, blah, 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 blah. But what apparently was the main story, at least for TNT to talk about, was none other than the situation involving one Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Now, for those of you that aren't caught up or don't care much about the National Basketball Association, the NBA, and what's going on. Preseason practice weather, rather. There was a little bit of an incident, and we talked about it here on the podcast, between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole and Draymond Green got into a little back and forth in practice. Draymond Green came walking up to him with some humming-ass breath in his face. Jordan Poole pushed him. And then Draymond Green punched him for the better part. Now, that's what everyone's been talking about, you know, for the past 2 weeks. And TNT decided to capitalize on that. Now, I want to start off by saying that I understand that TNT has an invested interest in Draymond Green coming to their platform once he's finished with the game, possibly filling in for that Charles Barkley role of being that commentator that doesn't give a fuck what these NBA players think. The controversial guy. The guy that's here to, stir the pot. They want to make him probably the next guy. I get that. What they did on Tuesday night involving him and discussing the topic of him punching someone was unbelievable. Now, ooh, I forgot I wanted to pull this up. Now, like I said, Draymond Green, he punched Jordan Poole, and he did a press conference. Not only did he do a press conference, GM did a press conference, Steph Curry did a press conference addressing the situation. And they were talking about basically what happened. Now, Draymond Green got up there and basically went on his old, you know, the video leaked, and I don't understand why the video leaked. Why don't they leak videos of me encouraging my teammates and telling them, you know, hey, you know, do better, guys. We can do this. We got this. So I don't leak those videos. Well, I'm going to tell you why, Draymond. No one cares. No one cares to hear you encouraging your teammates in practice. That's something you should probably do. It's practice. Who gives a fuck? When you punch someone in the face and you claim yourself to be, quote unquote, the leader of this team. And I'm not going to take that away from him. He is the leader of this team. Even though he's probably the fourth or fifth best player on this team, and he's probably not going to be with the Golden State Warriors next year, he is an important part of this team, and he has been for the run they've been on. But you question why they don't leak that video. Who cares about that? That's not salacious. That's not something anyone cares about. Everyone does that in practice. If you punch someone, yeah, people are going to talk about that. And everyone's quick to hop on the, this happens all the time. This is what happens. People fight in practice. It's a competitive sport. My grandfather was telling me about how Brendan Haywood, and this is a crazy story. Brendan Haywood was talking about it on Wizards post game, and he was discussing how, you know, he could relate to the situation because there was a time in practice where, and if you're not a Wizards fan, you're not going to know any of the names I'm talking about. But if you are and you followed them back in the early 2000s or late 2000s, I think it was like mid 2000s. He had gotten to a fight with Etar Thomas, which blew my mind because I never would have thought those two would have fought. But when they fought, he said it, you know, it affected their relationship. They didn't speak. They didn't speak off the court. They didn't talk. They weren't friends. They weren't even really, you know, friendly with each other. They didn't talk. It affected the relationship. And they fought more in practice, you know, because of that. So to say it's not a big deal, it is. Obviously it is. If it's something you guys leaked and wanted to address, it's a big deal. But for Draymond to go out and say, how come people don't leak this? You know, they don't leak when I'm being a good guy. Well, I got a clip right here first, and we're going to play it real quick. This is Draymond Green mic'd up about a year ago talking with Jameis Winston. Let's give it a play.
Yo, see the ball. Hey, listen, come here. I told you, if you're open anywhere for him to hit you, you can catch that ball right there and make a play.
I didn't see it.
But you didn't see it. That's my point. Always see the ball.
All right.
Because I got you in open space against Marc Gasol. I like that. You see me? Come on.
Two.
I like that.
Two.
I think that's you.
This is exactly why James Wiseman in 2 to 3 years will be ahead of the curve. When you've got a former...
Now, sorry, had the mic muted. Now, that video is titled Draymond Being a Good Leader. And everyone in the comments talking about, man, he's an important part. So don't say that they don't put out things showing that you're a good guy. The media has already deemed you a leader of that team and the most vocal part of that team. No one's out to get you. No one is out to get you. And there's this victimization that's going on with athletes. And I see it happening with Russell Westbrook. And I love Russell Westbrook. And I do think he is being scapegoated in LA. But look, you're an NBA player. And at the end of the day, you can't get mad when people comment when you do bad shit, especially when you claim yourself to be a leader and you do something it's not leader-like. You punch someone in the fucking face, bro. How can you claim to be a leader and you let your emotions get the best of you? And look, I let my emotions get the best of me sometimes. I've done it recently this week. But I don't claim myself to be a leader of a championship team. I'm not in the media. I'm just some random motherfucker that decided to do a podcast with 10 listeners. You claim to be a leader of a championship organization that's won 4 championships. And you're going to be criticized when you do something like this. Now, with that being said, TNT, like I said, has this invested interest in Draymond Green. They've put him on the show before when the Golden State Warriors were absolute trash. They decided, hey, let's bring him in here to talk about sports. Let's have him go against Charles Barkley. We know this guy is going to be special. So, with that being said, what I have now is Draymond Green's response video to the criticism and this very well-produced production of him in a one-shot camera in his face to let us know, hey, we're getting the real Draymond Green. So let's give that a play right now.
On October 5th, Draymond Green and teammate Jordan Poole got into a verbal altercation during practice.
Let's pause right there. Now, let's take the view, if you're not an NBA fan, right, and you have no idea what's going on, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Devlin? Let's just imagine you have no idea what's going on with the NBA, and you just turn on TNT, you hear this deep voice. Draymond Green got into an altercation with Jordan Poole. You're thinking, oh my gosh, someone must have got hurt. Maybe something involving his family. What happened to Draymond Green? That is the type of sad production that they're putting into this to make him seem like a victim. Let's continue.
The incident ended with Draymond punching Poole in the face. The situation rocked the sports world and shook the Golden State Warriors to the core.
I think in the very first few minutes, I think you're initially upset, pissed off, which is why you have the reaction you have. And so I think in the first minutes, just upset, like kind of not thinking about much except for what just happened, and then you kind of move to the why. Part of the process of why did this happen?
Why did this happen? Because you're an asshole. You're an asshole. Jay put it perfectly on, I don't know if it's 2 episodes previous, but one of the episodes, he talked about how, we know what Draymond is. He can be an asshole at times. And I wouldn't doubt he could be an asshole to anybody filming. Anybody around, just some random motherfucker, as he stated, and that someone would be out to get him. So when you want to make yourself seem like a leader, and there's people behind the scenes who are like, man, that guy's an asshole. Yeah, they're going to leak some shit, especially when they know they can get a profit off of it. That's what happened, Draymond. That's why it happened. Now let's continue.
And walking yourself through why, the different things that can get you to why what took place actually took place. From there, how do you feel about it? And I think that's the natural process that I went through, is okay, now that you process what just happened, now you've processed the why. Now, how do you feel, and what do you feel about it? Because everyone still needs to process what happened. That could take time.
Look, it's the NBA.
That was the GM talking. Look, I hate this thing that the Warriors do, that whenever something happens involving them, they got to make it so fucking emotional. Steve Kerr has to get up there and pound his fist. I don't like that. I don't like what you guys are doing to my players. It's annoying. It's annoying. They're an annoying team. I get it. Steph Curry is the greatest three-point shooter of all time and one of the most likable guys ever. Everyone else on the team? Not. Fuck Klay Thompson. Fuck Draymond. fuck Steve Kerr. I don't like them. And guess what? Because of that, I don't like Steph Curry. This is what they do. Everything has to be an emotional play with them. It's the most annoying thing in the world. Now, I don't want to play so much of this interview, of this documentary, rather, that they did. But I do want to play just a brief thing of how Draymond addressed the situation and what he felt on it. Got it right here. All right, take a listen.
I was told the world has been able to see one of your worst moments. Look at all the upsides you have now. And it's a totally different way of looking at it. Like, the world has seen one of your worst moments. Look at the upside. And I can live with that.
Now, if you're not an NBA fan, I understand. And you're like, what's going on here? What's happening? I just want you to know that I'm going to say this very clear and very bold. Draymond Green is not a victim. Draymond Green is not a victim. You punch someone in the face. You let your emotions get the best of you. You're a quote-unquote leader of this team. And you let your emotions get the best of you. That's what happened. And you punch someone in the face. Someone you knew was possibly going to get a bag soon. And he did. Shout out to Jordan Poole for getting paid by the Golden State Warriors. It bothers you. You've been on that team for a while. You haven't gotten that max contract offer. It is what it is. But for TNT, and even Shaq, and everyone else who went up there, look, this happens all the time in practice. Everyone's blowing this out of proportion. Shut the fuck up. If this happened all the time, you guys wouldn't be covering it like this. And I get it. Look, I said it on a previous episode. It's possible this video shouldn't leak, and they do need to look into how this video got out. That's not the main part of this story. You guys have created a monster in Draymond Green. You allow him to do what he wants because you guys win championships with him. He's been there from the beginning. You're loyal. Cool. But when you're loyal to someone, you don't address their faults. This is what happens. When he went out there and he got into the fight, or I don't know if it was a little scuffle with LeBron. By the way, the dick sucking him and LeBron got on with each other. The 69 and they're doing disgusting. I hate it. But he went out there and knowing he had a certain amount of flagrant fouls and technicals combined to get him suspended. And he still went out there and did some shit. It's not LeBron's fault. It's not LeBron cheating. That's on him. He got into an argument with KD. It's caught on camera. They yelled, screamed at each other. It's on him. When is the accountability going to start being in play? When will you say, hey, Draymond was wrong? And I get it. They've said that. But then it's a bunch of excuses. No excuses need to come with it. But this, but that. No more buts. He was wrong. He was wrong for punching Jordan Poole. He was wrong for yelling at KD on the court. He was wrong for knowing he had a certain amount of flagrant technicals and one more could get suspended for allowing LeBron to get to his head like that. Say that shit. When you don't say that shit, you excuse all his behavior. Look, it's well documented. I have no love for Draymond Green. I hate that motherfucker. I hate him. And I know you're saying you're listening. Damn, Davon, you don't even know him. Damn, Devlin, you don't know who the fuck Draymond Green is. I don't know him as a person. I know him for what he presents on the television, what he presents on social media. And that person that he presents, don't like him. Don't like him. Simple as that. No, I don't know you as a person. So because I don't know you a person, I judge you off what I see. Don't like you. Hate you. Hated you since the 2015 finals. Look, I'm going to say it again. Draymond Green is not a victim. Stop it. Warriors fans, stop it. Admit what he is. Because once that man signs a contract with someone else, y'all are really going to express how you feel about him. Because he's going to express what he felt about the Warriors while he was there. He's already done it a little bit about how he felt about management when he did that dumbass interview with Kevin Durant. That one-on-one interview with Kevin Durant. It's what he is, man. Stop with the bullshit. Stop it. Draymond Green is not a victim. Shout out to Jordan Poole. He got his money. He's going to be with the Warriors for a long time. He's going to be a very integral piece to that team. And while we're at it, fuck Klay Thompson, just because I don't like him either. I don't like the Warriors, man. I don't like them. Shout out to my Memphis Grizzlies. He got the win. Beautiful win. All right. What's the next topic I got up here? We're going to bounce off sports real quick. And we're going to discuss, I do a podcast. I love Jay Bird to death. My guy, my pal, probably my best friend. But he doesn't like music. He's not a music fan. Well, let me take that back. I'm not going to say he's not a music fan, because I think there's people who are music fan. They just don't like, they don't care for the behind the scenes, the intriguing parts of it. But he's not a music, quote unquote, music nerd like I am. And I don't even think I'm such a music nerd anymore as I once was. But Carl Cherry, and if you guys know who Carl Cherry is, I believe he's the head of, not the head, he's a very integral part to Spotify's hip hop division. Spotify being a music streaming company. Obviously, some of you guys know who that is. I'm assuming most of you guys know what Spotify is. You either have Spotify or Apple Music. And he tweeted this out. Is hip hop slipping? It's not chart dominant like it once was from 2015 to 2020, but it's still number one. We've been here before. Nas said hip hop was dead in 06. The blog era followed. 2014 wasn't a great year. The streaming era followed. There's something revolutionary coming around the corner. Now, what this is in response to is recently Quavo and Takeoff, Unk and Few, as they're going as, released the Only Built for Infinity Links project that they put out. Love that album, actually. It's a pretty good album. And it did, I believe, it was 39K first week sales. And DaBaby, who's been a big artist over the past few years, released a project that went for 19K sales. And he's saying basically back when the streaming era started, people were, streaming was booming. When artists like DaBaby, Migos, Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick, the big guy, the stars, when they released them albums, they were doing big numbers. Big, big numbers. Travis Scott, 100K sales first week, 200K for sales first week, 500K sales first week. Now, some things went into play after a couple years within to that that adjusted the first week sale numbers, such as, you know, singles counting towards first week sales. And if you, like I said, if you're not a music nerd, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But things changed, adjusted as, you know, just like the market, just like money-wise. You know, when you see something that was valued a million back in the 50s, it's valued 20 million now. Things change over time, especially in music. Things change quickly. So I think that has a part to play in it. But I want to address to his first part, as hip hop, it's not chart dominant like it once was from 2015, 2020. And first I want to address it being the first week sales issues that people are having. And I want to say that, how do I put this without sounding like a hater or this old angry man? I don't think I will say anything like this. Look, first week sales, caring about first week sales in the streaming era now has to be the dumbest thing ever. It's the dumbest shit ever, bro. It's not the same. First week sales are not going to be the same anymore as they once were in the early 2000s when Jay-Z was selling a million first week, when 50 was selling a million first week, when Wayne sold a million first week. That's not going to happen anymore. It's not the same as back then when, you know, you had to go to Best Buy or Circuit City, throwback, FYE, where you have to go and buy the album. And it's like, all right, I got this album. I'm going to listen to it and listen to it over and over again. It's different now. It's beamed into your phone at midnight. The day the album comes out, you have it. The minute it comes out, it's right there. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. And I can't speak for how other people listen to music, but I know with me, look at these pretty ass Oregon uniforms. Sorry, I got college football game day going up, and they got these vicious ass Oregon uniforms. Sorry, Jay hates that I get distracted. I do that a lot. Look, I was talking about first week sales. They're not going to be the same anymore. It's not going to be the same anymore because I know for me, I download music. When I see an album, I'm like, oh, put that in the library. I'll listen to it later. I'll listen to a week or two. Or maybe, you know, later on. That's how people view music now because literally so much music is coming out. You know, you can be like, all right, I'll save this and I'll listen to it later. People have their own playlists. It's different now. You can't expect people just to be like, I'm going to listen to this one album on my streaming site where I have every album at my will, at my call. I'm going to listen to this one album over and over again. And which is why I don't think first week sales should matter. It shouldn't matter what you do in the first week, especially if you're a popular artist. People are going to flock to your music first week. Lil Baby did, I think it was 200K. People are going to flock to him. He's one of the biggest rappers right now, if not the best rapper out right now. People are going to flock to him. That shouldn't matter. First week sales shouldn't matter anymore. What should matter is 10th week sales. How's that album still doing? Tekashi 6ix9ine's first week sales on that second album when he got out of jail were crazy. 200,000, I believe, something like that. Don't have the exact numbers. What happened the next week? Fell off. It went from number one on the billboards to like the mid-90s because it was trash. And that's what needs to be matter now. Is your music catching on? In this TikTok era, where the younger generation, they're just finding songs like, oh yeah, I'm going to do a little dance to that. Let's go to DaBaby for a minute. And they talked about how DaBaby is blackballed, which is not true. He's not blackballed. He has a formula. The formula is not working. And look, when I first saw that he was blackballed, I went and looked at the album. I gave it a listen. It wasn't anything that stuck out to me, you know? And also, there was no promotion behind it. But at the same time, DaBaby has become a TikTok rapper, and it's not intentional, but a lot of his songs that have blown up blew up off of TikTok. There's a song currently, I can't think of the name right now, but it was off of one of his earlier projects that had Shug on it. It's not Shug, but it's another song that's going popular right now. And that is something that artists are having to deal with. I think that might be something that could change around the corner. They're not competing with each other anymore. They're competing with themselves. You know what I'm saying? And for DaBaby, it's important. Because, yeah, it's great. People are going back to my old albums and listening. But is it? Is it great that they want to keep hearing my old shit, but when I make new shit, they're like, nah, fuck that? Is that a good thing? Money-wise, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, my catalog's still booming. But is it a good thing that they don't give a fuck about my new music? Is it that they don't give a fuck about your new music? Or is it that music's coming out so much constantly, there's not enough time to get all the projects out? NBA Youngboy released his album 3800 Degrees. What would that be? 2 weeks ago, same time as Infinity Links. Sold 30K. Yesterday, he put out another project called Ma, I Have a Family. That's a 2 week span. How do you expect your fans to fully appreciate one album in 2 weeks? They can't, especially when they're still vibing off of some of your old music. That's another issue that's going on. People are dropping music way too much. Way too much. It's becoming, it's like, look, DaBaby has a one flow. It is what it is. I'm not here to criticize it or say, well, if you got one flow, look, he's got one flow that works. It's a pocket. It hits. It's the Shug flow, as I like to say. One of the million, gone. Like Shug. Yeah, yeah. Does that on every song. Hey, and it works because he can spit. He can rap. But over a 3-year course, when we keep hearing that same flow over, 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 and over again, people are going to get tired of it, man. You got to space it out. I think I've stated I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift on this podcast. And I've dialed some of that back recently. I don't hate her as much anymore. But I'll say this, and it's a rare compliment she gets. The way she moves, or the way whoever's controlling her moves her. She put out an album, I think, yesterday. It's going to do great numbers. You know why? Because her fans haven't heard from her in a long time. And I think the last time they heard from her, it was a project where she released all her old songs or some shit. And then that's it. They didn't hear any other music. She didn't do a collab album with Lua, whoever a pop star is. I'm not hip on the pop world. Lua Deepa or Jack Harlow. They haven't heard from her in a while. So here she's back with a whole new album full of new content. They're ready to hear it. They're going to listen to it over again. Drake does the same thing. J. Cole does the same thing. Music needs to be spaced out to be appreciated. And that's the issue, you know? Now, he says, you know, Nas said hip-hop was dead in 06, the blog era followed. 2014 wasn't a great year, the streaming era followed. Speaking to that part, look, I haven't said on this podcast before, but I've had discussions with people where we talk about, you know, when was your favorite time in music? And I always say 2016 to 2017 was a great time. And I see a lot of people in my generation say the same thing. I loved the 2016-2017 era of music. And I keep trying to figure out why. Why did they love that music so much? Couple things. One, like I said, if it's my generation, you either just turned 21, you were 21, you just started hitting the club, started really being able to buy liquor on your own, get turned. That is when the time for music. There's two times that I think music is really important in your life. Mid-teens, going to high school, because now you growing up, care more about lyrics. As a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, you have more things happening to you in life. Music is going to hit at that point. When you turn 18-ish, you're going to college. It's going to hit. And when you're 21, music is going to hit. Because that's when you're like, I'm about to turn up. I don't have to hide my drinking. I don't have to be in secret. We're going to the bar. We're going to Whitlow's. Rest in peace to Whitlow's. We're going to turn the fuck up. Hey, let's put this new album on. And when that happened for my generation, that is when the streaming era took place. And my generation is from when we were getting albums, when we were teens, it was, you got to go to, not even LimeWire anymore. You got to go to Hot New Hip Hop, download this, then that, third. And even though we were computer savvy, there were some people in our generation that was like, yeah, I'm not trying to do all that to get an album. Now it's, you know, I remember when streaming, when Apple Music happened and I got it. It's $9.99 a month for every album ever. Easy, sign me up. And now your friends can do that too. Hey, you hear this album? Put this on. Hey, you hear Views? This joint popping. Hey, you hear Culture? Bad and Bougie's the shit. Everyone had access to that music now for $9.99 a month. It was booming. Here we are 5 years later, though, and the same things, it's still going that way. Music changes. It has to change. It has to change over time in order to keep up. And I think we're, you know, I think Carl Cherry has a great point that something is coming around the corner, because I know me personally, I keep going back to old shit I listen to because I'm like, I can tell these, a lot of these artists, musicians, and I don't knock them for this at all, but the albums now, they're 15 songs in 30 minutes. I get what you're doing. That's the problem with DaBaby. You made an album off no promotion. It was 12 songs, 33 minutes. It's not much to dive into in 33 minutes off of that. Especially when you're not really talking about nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not judging, but it's like, I'll listen to it later. I'll give it a shot. First week sales are not going to be the same. And that's a model that needs to be adjusted. I don't know what revolutionary is around the corner as far as music is concerned. And what can happen in the future. I do think something is coming. Because it just has to. And like I said, maybe it will involve these artists competing with themselves. I think it all still dictates on who's that next guy. Because for the past fucking decade, the guy to lead the wave and hate him or love him is Drake. I know, I'm a huge Drake fan. Davon, you're sucking him off. I'm not. But it is what it is. That's what the case was. That's what it was. For the past 10 years, the music industry has moved off to Drake. When Drake signed with Apple and he decided, hey, I'm exclusively releasing my shit to Apple, everyone else started signing exclusive deals. It moved off of him for a decade. Drake now has braids and he has a child and he's doing his own shit. Music is not as important to him. He's been on FCB, FC Barcelona for $10,000 on his own gambling site. Don't want to get into that because I'm not trying to call him out for shit. But the other thing is, he's not as involved in music anymore. So now it's up to who's that next guy? Is it Lil Baby? Is he going to dictate the way the music moves in the culture? I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. I guess my point of this all is, you know, I think that music executives and music presidents, and I have a whole other take on music in general, just how it should be ran in the future. I'll save that for another solo episode if I ever do one. But I just think it needs to be adjusted the way you look at things. First week sales don't mean shit. You can sell out first week. How is your album performing constantly on the charts? How is it doing up in month two when it's out? Do people still love it? Do people still go back and listen to it? Because that's what matters in the streaming era. Back in the day, I got this one CD. I'm just going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it over and over again. It's not the case anymore. People make their own playlists. So that's all I got for that topic. Man, I can't believe I'm 40 minutes in. I've just been talking. It doesn't even feel that long. All right, what we got next? Okay, I'll bounce back to sports real quick. Okay, Alvin Kamara, and it's not really sports related, but it involves a sports athlete. Alvin Kamara, running back for the New Orleans Saints. Very talented, good pass catcher out of the backfield, and also a great runner. New Orleans Saints, though, have no identity, so I don't know what they're doing. But that's not the point of this. He had, and this happened about 2 weeks ago, he had a very good game. I can't remember the team they were playing, obviously. But he had a very good game versus this team. And I guess he was just scrolling his DMs afterwards. And he came across this guy whose name is Dane H. It's D. Hawkins 70. He sent him a message, and I'm going to read it. He sends... Good game, nigga. Now, for backstory, this guy's white, so just understand that that can be an issue when you say something like that. He says, good game, nigga. Alvin Kamara replies, if I snapshot this and send it to your head coach at Hoax, what happens? Guy then replies, my bad. I didn't think you would actually receive these, and I'm a huge fan. I've had you on fantasy every year. Then he sends the laughing emojis. I might just post this. Dane H. Stinson's back. My bad, brother. My bad, brother. I'm a huge fan. I love watching you play. I've liked you since you went to Bama that time. Alvin Kamara replies, I don't care. Kanye shoulder shrug. Do you use that word at school? He says, nah, it's not in my vocabulary. I love when people say, it's not in my vocabulary. I don't even have that in there. What do you mean it's not in your vocabulary? Obviously it is. You just said it. It's not in my vocabulary. I don't know why I said it here. Then he says, so they need to know is what you're telling me. That's Alvin Kamara's reply. Dane H. then replies, no. No, man. Sorry. I shouldn't have said it. My bad. Then, he says, it won't happen again. But after careful consideration, you have earned a roster spot on my team. Congratulations, son. Oh, you're going to do him a favor. Hey, Alvin Kamara, I'm sorry I was just racist to you. You can be on my fantasy team. Oh, man. So then Alvin Kamara posts this interaction on his stories and says... what does he say? He says, when social media goes wrong, at Dane Hawkins, he tags the high school and high school association, I'm assuming. The guy then replies, hey, man, I'm sorry. Can you delete this? I've learned my actions and consequences. I'm getting harassed. And Alvin Kamara simply says, no. Now, I went to the guy's page. He's got it locked down. He says, please stop harassing me, blah, blah, blah. Fuck Alvin Kamara. I deleted him from my fantasy team. Look, I saw some people replying to this on Twitter. What did I see? Headline says, Twitter reacts. I hate those shit because Twitter is not a real world and doesn't matter who reacts. But for the sake of this podcast, it does. People were saying, oh, Alvin Kamara, you got nothing better to do than ruin this high school kid's life. You couldn't just let this go. Why is this so important to you? I'm going to tell you why he shouldn't have let this go. My generation, I hate to keep going back to that, sounding old as shit, but we grew up with the internet, obviously. And even though, you know, look, maybe there was not as severe consequences, but there was consequences to certain things you posted on the internet when I was in high school. You know, it could get you in trouble. Now, there's none. There's a famous South, not famous, but there's a one of my favorite episodes of South Park called... titled "The Bar Is," it's like "The Bar Is Low," and the premise of the episode is that, you know, they see Honey Boo Boo and they just keep saying, you know, what's happened, why where's the shame, where's the shame, and they do a analogies as to they involve James Cameron, a famous director of Avatar, to go figure out what happened, why is the bar so low, and he dives into the sea to raise the bar and bring back shame. Now, that episode debuted 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And I'll say that the bar has gotten even lower. There's no consequences for what you do on the internet anymore. None. I was watching a documentary about this guy who was famously making SWAT calls. He made like 36 before they even the police involved themselves. And then he made another 70 after they essentially arrested him and gave him a warrant and gave him a warning. He did another 70. It's something he did. There's no consequences for what you do on the internet or when you don't put a face to anything. And the younger kids, the high school kids, they've realized that, hey, I can say what the fuck I want. And if I get exposed, I can quickly pull the shame card. There's no shame anymore. Hey, you can't. Why are you doing this to me? And that's what happened here. Hey, why are you exposing me? I'm just a kid, man. This isn't right. No. They need to know there's consequences for the shit you say on the internet. You want to go around saying, hey, good game, nigga. Wanting to be funny for your friends and show them, hey, look what I just sent Alvin Kamara. Guess what? There's consequences to that. People keep asking, why does this, what's wrong with this generation? They just don't give a fuck. That's why I don't give a fuck. We make so many excuses for them. And it's happening here. Look, I'm not here to debate what the guy said, but hey, look, you're going to say something to somebody like that and you know can be what could happen when you say that? There's consequences to it. Guess what? He read it and he let you know the consequences. That is something this generation, there's consequences to the shit you post. No, you can't just post shit on TikTok and be like, oh yeah, I'm just trying to get viral. I'm going to get famous off this. No, you're 16. This could fuck your life up. Guess what, kid? Dane H. Now you're known as a racist. You haven't even turned the legal age of 18. And you're known as a racist now. That's the consequences. Let that be a lesson to you, your friends, and everyone else at the high school decides that they want to just post shit on the internet because it's funny. There's consequences. Can't just go around saying shit. Can't. And it's not just what regular people have an issue with. It's celebrities. Celebrities do this shit. I'll take it back to when Kevin Porter Jr., who I mentioned earlier for the Houston Rockets, he had a great game. There's another player that previously played in the NBA. His name was Kevin Porter. There was no relation. The announcer for that game had no idea. And he said, hey, just like his dad, Kevin Porter Jr., lighting up, shooting up the field, shooting it up. Now people went and looked back and they found out that Kevin Porter Jr.'s actual father, Kevin Porter Sr., not the one that played basketball, was convicted of a crime of killing someone. One person looked it up and said, oh, this guy made that joke. So then everyone else acted like they knew it. And that's what happens. LeBron then goes on his platform and calls the guy out. says he needs to be removed from his position. So now everyone is like, oh, this guy's a racist without looking into it. When it turns out, just like me, he had no idea that Kevin Porter Jr.'s father was convicted of murder. He too, and maybe he should have done a little more research. He too thought, hey, Kevin Porter Jr. Sr. played in the NBA. This clearly is his son. That's a mistake on his part. I'm not going to say he's right. He made a mistake there. But to then blow him up and say, oh, you made a joke about his father being a murderer, when that's not the case, that guy got a lot of backlash for it. And when it was revealed, did LeBron apologize? No. Another incident. PNB Rock, rest in peace. Everyone on their platform. Everyone thought, oh, because his girlfriend posted the location, that's how he got killed. Kodak Black went and said something. Fuck his girlfriend. Something along the lines of, I ain't feeling what his girlfriend did. Young Bird did the same shit. Nicki Minaj went and said, you guys need to be more responsible and not post shit. Comes out, dudes who killed him, they was on the drop. There was another guy who was leaving the Waffle House, Roscoe's Waffle and Chicken, and sent the text to the killer, hey, PNB rocking here with a whole bunch of jewelry. Get him. This was a setup. Had nothing to do with locations. Had nothing to do with drops. Did Nicki go back and apologize? No. And I'll give Kodak Black. He went back and he apologized. I respect that. But that's what's happening. They see these celebrities. They post whatever in the moment. It seemed like a good person. There's no consequences when they're wrong. These high school killers, these high school kids see that. They think the same thing. No. You're not them. You're just a regular Joe. There's consequences to your actions. You can't just say whatever the fuck you want on the internet just for attention, just to be funny for a quick moment. Backfires. It's consequences. And if we don't establish consequences on the internet, it's leading to bad shit. That's why people just feel they can say what the fuck they want to people now in real life. They're on Twitter. Hey, I could say whatever. I'll say whatever the fuck I want to him in real life. Hey, I'm at a game. I say fuck Russell Westbrook and his kids. And I'm not saying that. I'm quoting and playing a hypothetical of someone who else is like that. I go on Twitter and I say, hey, fuck Russell Westbrook, his kids, and his family. I'm going to go say that to him at the game. We're letting people get comfortable with disrespect. It's not okay. It's consequences. Yeah, you have free speech to say what you want. Just like I have the freedom to punch you in the fucking face. So I hope, I don't think people are going to learn anything from this. But it needs to be known that it's consequences to your actions. Man, 52 minutes I went. Whew. What a long one. Didn't even feel like that. Well, I don't know how you guys like this, just hearing my voice. But I will say that I can't wait till my guys come back because I am tired. Doing a solo episode is a lot, man. But I hope you guys liked it. You know, it was fun to do. You know, like I said, just want to keep some content going out there. Did three stories. Let me know what you guys think. Comment, like, subscribe to our podcast. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Bad Influence Podcast. Give me a follow, D_Taylor95. Give my guy Jay a follow. Give my guy Drake a follow. You can find them on my Instagram. I hope you enjoyed this solo edition of The Bad Influence Podcast. Like I say, you know, all the time, I hope you like it. Hope you love it. If not, two tears in a bucket. Fuck it. I'm out. Peace. Free Britney Griner.